T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
That's what we're doing. We were going to do Eli Hershkovich and the NCAA and you better, you better, you bet. But Eli apparently has a... we have to stop doing Eloy and Eli in the same show. It's just... Yeah. Forget it. I have to stop that. But apparently this marriage can't be saved because the thought of coming on with Mark and making up gave him a migraine, so he's not coming on.
Well, I disagree. Well, you do have half of it right. I would disagree. Here is the way I will spin it. Eloy does have a migraine headache, and I
Eloy
wouldn't want to go on
Eli?
The radio. Oh,
wait,
did Eloy I say Eloy?
Or...
Did I say Eloy?
You did.
I would
if I can
certainly
say San Jose Sharks.
Eloy's on first, guys.
If I was Eli, I would not want to come on the radio with us either if I had a migraine, nor would I want to talk to anybody, quite frankly, if I had a migraine. However, I will say this, that I was the only one that Eli text messaged, so I think our friendship is alive and well.
Right. So now he hates Trash Panda, so it's been...
I even talked to him before because he was here this morning for the BetQL show, and I talked to him before he left. I said, and we reconfirmed 1 o'clock. So apparently in the 3 hours between him leaving... 4 hours? I don't know. Between him leaving and now, the migraine developed, which I used
well,
to get migraines in junior high, so I get it.
No, they suck. He did text me at like 12:30, so it was my bad for allowing Steve to tease it and our audience, so I should have been looking at my phone. So it is my fault. I apologize. The Loyola Ramblers play. What do you want to know? Sister Jean, Cameron Crutwig, and Williamson. There you go. The Loyola has one of the best defenses in the country. Oregon State is not as good as Loyola. Loyola will win. There you go, Bears.
All right. Well, we have more NCAA talk later. I wanted to follow up on something. And what are you doing, Wagner? This started last week, and you'll recall that we were trying to book Patrick Manley.
Yes.
And it had nothing to do with a snapper, the holder, the kicker, nothing about the operation. But it was something much more important than that, because he's the last known or the greatest voice defending the mullet. Because you and I were dumbfounded to find out that in Kentucky, or we were dumbfounded to find out, but delighted that a mullet is called a Kentucky waterfall. And we even had Don Cooper referencing it, which
we did.
I thought that was just sort of each state had its own name for the same haircut. But Mark, I found out it's all wrong. It's all different. Not even close.
Huh.
So Bob, my wine guy at Trader Joe's, comes up to me and says, by the way, there's a whole website devoted to mullets. I go, no. He goes, yeah, and they're all different. And it was important to him because his daughter is getting married in Nashville and his son wants to wear a mullet. And there is a mullet called a Tennessee top hat. It is one of the rare mullet haircut styles that generally strives for a degree of panache. This is according to menhairstyletips.com. It achieves it with a heavy use of mousse and holding spray. So it's all fluffy-like and curvy. It looks like snakes coming out of your heads. It's one of the few mullet hair ideas that represents a very low level of commitment, since little to no cutting is needed to achieve it. And there are other names on this list that I needed to share, because even though Patrick Manley is not here to give us his thoughts as an expert, there is one called the Alabama Shag. The Devil May Care classic is achieved via the slapdash use of sheep shears held in one's non-dominant hand and the use of a windshield instead of a mirror. That's how you get the Alabama Shag. There's one called the Mississippi Mudflap.
Okay.
It embodies everything that the mullet hair genre is meant to achieve: exceedingly short and parted on top, and 1980s hairband length in the back. There's no room for compromise on the Mississippi Mudflap.
Wow.
This is something to see. You really need a picture to go along with it, but we don't have pictures on radio last night. Actually, we do. We have Twitch, but we're not on Twitch. It's called the Wisconsin Waterfall. It is, you get a tattoo of some local vermin on your head. You grow your hair long, attempting to dye your hair blue, but failing, and then you end up with green, and then you shave the sides, and so you show off the tattoo that you nearly forgot about, and jewelry that interferes with the health of facial mucous membranes is also required.
It's my favorite one so far.
Yeah, because you like the vermin part, right? Because it could be a trash panda.
Yeah.
Here, though, is the one that, this is the reason I wish Patrick Manley were here with us. There is, according to menshairstyles.com, in this collection of mullet descriptions and pictures, is one called the El Camino headrest.
Oh, he'd love that. You're right.
Right. So the El Camino, as Patrick Manley would tell you, is known for providing bumpy rides and for suddenly spinning out on wet roads due to rear wheels having poor contact on the ground. So one response to this is a mullet haircut that reduces the risk of whiplash by providing padding to the head and neck, letting it grow extra thick. The El Camino headrest is the name.
For those who don't know, Patrick Manley does drive does drive an El Camino.
It was his dream car. Drives the El Camino wearing a mullet. Nothing says,
I will say, guys, had I known, because if you will recall, I was not with the show last week. Had I known you were pursuing Patrick Manley, I probably could have gotten him.
Oh, you just recused yourself of blame.
Because there was no email through this week that said anything about Patrick Manley.
No, well, I just followed up. We did not need to bother him because he might sick Olin Krutz on us. He knows Olin Krutz. And then Olin Krutz would come over and squeeze my head like a zit, and I don't want that to happen. So we decided not to bother Patrick Manley. But we did want to share the mullet that Bob, my wine guy at Trader Joe's, all of a sudden is fighting with, worried or at least alerting me that his son is going to choose a mullet for to attend his sister's wedding. Oh, my God. In Tennessee, that won't look out of place. You know who Jack Leiter is? Mark?
No.
Jack?
No,
Jack.
That does not ring familiar.
Not
first.
Felix Leiter. Yeah. He was part of the James
Not Al Leiter.
Bond.
I know Al Leiter.
Well,
Al Leiter.
Yeah, you're in the right family. Let me tell you that.
Okay.
Jack is Al's son.
Oh,
Jack has pitched 16 innings in the last week and has not given a hit up in any of them.
Ooh.
He threw a 9-inning no-hitter for Vanderbilt last week, and last night he through 7 more no-hit innings.
Oh, my God.
And he's 26 strikeouts and 4 walks, a 6.5-to-1 ratio. And he is the son of former major leaguer Al Leiter. I think we have our number one pick.
Wow, so he's legit. I did not know that. I like Al Leiter. Al Leiter's a great – I remember – God, where was he doing – announcing, or still maybe he was doing.
We'd seen him on Fox, I believe, right?
Yeah, no, I can't remember. I don't remember. When I was doing Cubs pregame, I was somewhere on the road, and oh, you know, it was in Miami. He was doing stuff with the Marlins.
There we go.
And I had a, he was one of my favorite conversations I had in the 3 years that I did that gig. I sat down with him for like an hour, and just he was great. He was awesome.
Al Leiter. So his son, Al Leiter. Yep. Like I'm saying, Jack, you just keep looking for that. All right. This month marks the 23rd anniversary of the release of one of the best movies ever, The Big Lebowski.
I'm the dude.
Yep, that's it. You're the dude. That's Jeff Bridges. And our favorite tweeting cinephile, and for things like this, Carlos Quintanilla, late of CNBC, had tweeted out some of these things about the movie, that Jeff Bridges said the script reminded me a lot of myself, the dude said. And for the wardrobe, and you can imagine it now, quote, we went up to my closet and we just found all kinds of stuff. Those jelly sandals, some t-shirts I had. So that was wardrobe for The Big Lebowski.
Wow, so he wardrobed himself.
Yes, he did. And John Goodman has, especially with today being Passover, which we'll discuss later, John Goodman not rolling on. I don't roll on Shabbos, Danny. He's Shomer Shabbos. Donnie, I mean, not Danny. Anyways, so he's Eloy. There's a scene where, and also one of his best lines, John Goodman's best lines, is, this isn't Nam, this is bowling. There are rules. So,
are you guys once? Oh, yeah. Sorry. Go ahead, Steve. Go ahead.
No, he once told the Today Show, John Goodman did, the quote, the night I beat up the Corvette with a crowbar, nobody told me they bought the neighborhood out. So I'm going, I can't go out in this quiet neighborhood and yell this obscene stuff. He managed to anyways. He managed to go out there. They bought the neighborhood out. And there's a famous part that I... That rips the Eagles, you know, as Jeff Bridges was always being asked, do you like Creedence Clearwater Revival, and do you like the Eagles, man? Mm-hmm. The dude reviles the Eagles. So he once told Rolling Stone magazine, I love Creedence, and, you know, as far as the Eagles, I don't hate the Eagles like the dude hates them. I remember I ran into Glenn Frey. He gave me some bleep. I can't remember what he said exactly, but, you know, my anus tightened a bit.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. That's funny. Yes. I think it was, who are the other Eagles? Joe Walsh.
Who are the other Eagles? Come on.
Huh?
Who are the other Eagles?
Yeah. I was having a small mental block, but I got over it. See, I answered my own question.
Yes.
So anyway, back to the Cubs. Boy, everything's coming back Cubs today for me. I once ran right next to Joe Walsh on one of the Cubs stops. He was on the treadmill right next to me.
Really?
You know what? This is going to sound crazy because I just said it was actually in, it was in Miami. And he was right next to me, and I didn't realize it was him. I knew it was he definitely looked like, you know, kind of an unkempt rock and roller. You know what I mean? Like that unkempt look. And Len Casper was down there as well. And after Joe Walsh left, Len Casper goes, hey, you know who that was? I go, who? That was Joe Walsh. I was like, oh, wow. And also that week, down in this tiny little workout gym, was boy, but the memory's not working today. Who's the guy that does the Saturday Night Live news? What's his face?
The current guys?
Michael Shea.
Not Michael Shea. The guy with the good hair.
The guy that married Scarlett Jo.
That's who it was. It was. Check me out. Scarlett Johansson was down there as well. With a trainer.
No way.
Yeah, seriously, in this junky, like it was not, you know how hotels are, beautiful hotel, but it was like a tiny rinky-dink gym, you know, where they just have the minimum amount of stuff, a few treadmills and a few weights, she was down there working with the trainer, just a tiny little thing.
Did you say hey or what?
No, I didn't. I didn't. I was just like, it was funny because
how could you not say hey?
Because she was working out with her trainer, and
yeah,
you know
that is a good point. Like, I always found it's there's no good way as a guy to approach a strange woman at the gym. Like, I've thought about it. Like, there's been times when, you know, in the before times when you could go to gyms and there'd be people there. There's been times where I've, like, seen women multiple times, like, they're at the same time as me all the time, but never found a good way to be able to approach them and be like, you know, start a conversation. It's impossible.
It can't be done. That is such a great thing. The closest I came on that one time, Studs, there was a girl doing burpees, and I said something like, oh man, those are rough. And she said something to me like, oh wow, yeah, I saw you running over there. That's pretty tough too. But that was the extent of it. It went well, but I left it at that because it's so, like, you're right. There's something, that's a whole thing right there. The gym romances. I'm sure that there are plenty of people who have engaged in those, but yeah, that's a tough call because you don't want to be that guy, right?
You don't want to come off as a creep.
Right. Because the ladies are like, it probably sucks to be a lady in a gym and with guys, like, they're there to do business. They're not all, you know, they're not all beautified. They're there to work out. They don't really want to be looked at and talked to at that time. So it is, wow, that is such a great conundrum right there, Studs.
I mean, yeah, because I feel the same way. Most of the time when I'm at the gym, I don't want to be talked to. Like, I'm not in a mood. Like, I got my adrenaline going.
Absolutely. I got to be honest, like, it's even weird. And Studs, I think you and I have had this occur before. I don't even necessarily want to run into anybody that I know at the gym, right? Like, you just want to go do the job. You don't want to have convos with people because working out kind of sucks. It's like a necessary evil.
I think it depends on how well you know the person. Like, if you only know them vaguely, let's give them a nod, like, give them a wave. But if I know them pretty well, like, if I see you, I'll come up and say hey, you know?
Yeah, like, that happened, I believe, one time.
I think
didn't
so.
It?
That sounds familiar. Yeah. Right. Again, in the before times, like, 5 years ago, 7 years
times.
Ago, I don't know.
Right, but yeah, no, it's all business. And so I there have been times where I've wanted to engage in conversation, but it's always a call off, unless there's, like, a really easy, you know, entrance there. You know what I mean? Like, something really obvious, like you're going for the same piece of equipment. Everything sounds double entendre
even then.
Yeah, even then, just done. Let it go. There's other women, other places. No need to do it in the gym. You enjoying this, Stevie?
I'm just listening.
Still here?
I'm uncharacteristically quiet. I'm just listening.
Come on, man. You're
somebody,
a single
I wanna
man,
hear
right?
Somebody's. Oh, I want to. So far, I haven't heard a good closing line. I haven't heard a good Liam Hendricks here. What's your closing line?
I wanted to bring this up real quick since we're on Big Lebowski, because I remembered this site that I found in college. It's called dudeism.com. It's like, so dudeism, you know, like the dude, is like,
dude.
This is like a legit site. You can get ordained in the Church of Dudeism. the Church of the Latter-day Dude. And they have like, this is, you got to go to this website. It's dudeism.com. And it has like, I mean, it's got, let me see here. It's got like great dudes in history. So they have like Jesus Christ here. Jeff Lebowski is on here. Jennifer Lawrence.
Probably all downhill from there.
Jerry Garcia is on here.
Like, oh, sure. Yeah.
Walt Whitman. Like, just like,
what do they have in defining what they consider a dude?
Oh, they do. They have a whole page on defining dudism.
What is the dude in order to be able to pair Jerry Garcia and Jesus? So where's the Venn diagram description in the middle?
So here's what it says on the page label on the subpage labeled "What is Dudism?" While Dudism in its official form has been organized as a religion only recently, it's existed down through the ages in one form or another. Probably the earliest form of Dudism was the original form of Chinese Taoism before it went all weird with magic tricks and I don't think I can say that word. And then he goes on to say, like, down through the ages, this, quote, rebel shrug has fortified many successful creeds, Buddhism, Christianity, and so on and so forth. So it's just like, they kind of loosely define it. John Lennonism is in there.
It doesn't mean, okay, so it doesn't mean anything.
I mean, no, it
Taoism
doesn't.
Taoism is about being humble and religious. So I all right. Okay, I didn't know if there was particulars to how you get Jesus and Jerry Garcia. And some people with enough drugs might have seen their Jesus in Jerry Garcia. I understand that. I'm just wondering what this website, but you can be ordained in the Church of Dudism.
The Church of the Latter-day Dude.
Oh, there we go. Okay. All right. Well, the dude abides. No wonder the dude abides. All right. You know, a volcano in Iceland went off. It was dormant for 6,000 years. It went off. Lava came spewing out. It really made for some spectacular pictures. Scientists naturally scurried to the site and were viewing it, wanting to see how it all played out. And for one meal, they took some sausages and they cooked them on the burning lava.
Wow.
That's how they made the sausages.
That's awesome.
On a burning
lava.
This
is lava. So hot you could cook sausage on it.
Yeah, there, and they did. And they did. So before we end, Wegner, we'll end it like this. Do you know who Noah Lyles is? I did not.
No.
He's a current world champion 200-meter runner.
Okay.
And at the Grand Prix recently, in wearing his fatigues, he wore fatigues, and so he got this kind of olive green, hunter green, and he's got these fluorescent green shoes. And out of nowhere, in the starting block, propped up as you see the runners, he's got these just sort of navy blue socks, just blue socks.
Aye.
And then he made sure everyone knew what they were. And he is racing in a Grand Prix event in Dunder Mifflin socks.
Oh, God. The Office, right?
You expand the picture and you say, oh, yeah, they're Dunder Mifflin socks.
Oh, God.
He's racing at world-class levels in Dunder Mifflin socks.
That had to have pleased a large section of people.
Oh, yeah. I'm a big Noah Lyles fan. We love Noah for that. Dunder Mifflin socks.
That's great.
Oh, my goodness. All right, we'll take a break. We have NCAA stuff, and we have Passover, and we can pass over. We cannot pass over what the Bears are doing. And Mark, I understand you're headed for your first Seder.
Well,
tonight
it is.
We'll
get into it.
We will do that. Next on Saturday Suckage. Who else could bring you the Bears and the cheesy Passover segue? I'm up passing over the Bears in interest this year, except Saturday Suckage. Told you. Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there
there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Welcome in, welcome back. Steve Rosen with Mark Rohde, Saturday's Suckage. We'll take this up to the top of the 2 o'clock hour, and then what? Trash Panda? What? I don't know. I never know. I'm always lost.
Oh, we'll have CBS Sports Radio at 2, and then at 7:15 we have the most anticipated Bulls game of ever.
Our lifetime. Yes, of our lifetime. And that will be brought to you. That'll be Chuck on the pregame show, Rick Camp, one of our previous guests, on the postgame show. And Nikola Vucevic making his Bulls debut. By the way, the Bulls tweeted out something that's just so adorable. Vucevic is 5 years old. They tweeted out a picture. They said, this is Vuce at 5 years old. It was meant to be. And then there's a heart icon.
Aww.
So he does not look thrilled, this Vuce person. But he is standing next to what looks to be a plastic indoor basket stanchion, if you can have a plastic stanchion. And he is wearing a Bulls ball cap, a Bulls sweat outfit, and a multicolored basket, holding a multicolored basketball. And it says, this is Vuce at 5 years old. It was meant to be. And he was asked about that, apparently, in the pregame. He did you'll be seeing that throughout the day. Casey Johnson of NBC Sports Chicago relates that Nikola Vucevic said he's wearing Jordan 9s in this photo and said his mom may still have the Bulls sweatsuit. It'll be on eBay soon.
I think I just got goosebumps.
Yeah.
Yep. Can confirm. By the way, I'm looking at Rob Schaefer here, one of our frequent guests on the show. He of NBC Sports Chicago. Yeah, I was just looking because there are other new guys on the Bulls too, like Al Farouk Aminu. His first impressions of the Bulls organization, quote, it looks like they're trying to do everything to a higher level. The facilities are at a high level. The way they went through practices and things like that were very sharp and very organized. It's giving me some confidence just off the bat that certain things are in place. It feels good to be here and know those things are being done. My God, if that isn't a microcosm or symbolic of the change that exists with the Bulls overall, I don't know what is.
We need to keep playing the way we're playing.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, you want to hear it from what you heard from the guys who are already here. You kind of want to hear that from people who are already here going, oh, wow, they're serious. And they've said it about Billy Donovan, everything they said about Billy Donovan and sure. Acme, Arturis Karnišovas and Mark Eversley is basically this is what Garpax and Jim Boylan, this is why we were bad and stupid. But when you have Zach LaVine getting one of the messages he got, besides yelling and screaming that he's got a big man to play with that he's never had. He was an all-star that he has never been, and he will likely be in the postseason like he has never been. Quote, they're not here to mess around. They're ready to win, and they'll do anything it takes to make this organization better and get back to where this franchise should be at. That's what I got from it. Yeah, okay, that's it. No more rebuilds, no more excuses. None of this crap from Jim Boylan not caring what his record is. And AK told you what the record is, and it matters. There you go.
I'm looking forward to seeing how I think we got a pretty good idea that the starting lineup will be Vucevic, LaVine, Williams, Young, and Sato. But the name that is left out of there is Lauri Markkanen. And I thought it was interesting earlier what Rick Camp said, that maybe they would start Lowry just to show him that they got to get him out of there because the defense is not good enough. And that the one bugaboo with Vucevic is that he is not a great defender, nor is LaVine. So at that point, who do you have? You have Williams and Young as your defenders, and that's about it.
I don't think they need to start him. The only reason you would have started Lowry last week is, if you were going to do such a thing, is to showcase him is for a trade. Well, that's not, you pass the deadline. We're here to win now. And you don't help us win by starting. Same thing with Kobe White. You don't help us win by starting. You help us by coming off the bench. And I think that's where they are now. It certainly would fit that you would start the best five. And again, Billy Donovan made the point, and it's always been true. It's not who starts, it's who finishes. That's over the course of the game. Who can I rely on? Who's playing well now? Who cares to win this game? And you saw that play out against Cleveland. Nobody cared. And then all of a sudden, everything got blown up. So, Mark, is this your first Seder you're heading to today?
It's the Seder.
Tonight?
No. I have actually been to, so this will be, let's say this is my third Seder. Actually,
With 10, you get, if you have a loyalty card with 10, you get all the plagues, and then you get to go to temple.
Oh, really?
I thought one for each plague. That's it.
I might just host my own Seder one of these years. I don't know, but I am a Catholic man, but I'm going to third or fourth Seder possibly. Going to one out in Elmhurst, my friend Lisa, who converted from Catholicism to Judaism. So I will be going there, and our mutual friend and freelance writer, sometimes writes for the Chicago Tribune, is Dan Dorfin. So we will be attending this together. Should I bring like fish or something, like a gefilte or maybe some
matzo ball?
You can always ask the host and hostess if they'd like you to bring anything, but generally they've got what they need, because they usually spent weeks shopping for kosher for Passover, this and that and the other thing. And that's
Mitch Rosen told me that he said Shpilkes. Two things. Yeah, Shpilkes, your guy Shpilkes, right. Mitch said, he texted me, said, first thing I want you to say at the Seder tonight, what makes tonight different than all other nights? But the other thing he said, he said, go to Marion's, ask for the Passover dessert special. Does he mean Mariano's, or is there a place called Marion's?
I've never heard of it. I was wondering, maybe Marion lived down the block from Mitch and said, go to Marion's right down here. She's five doors down.
Really nice lady. I think you'll like her.
Yeah. She's one of the best in the neighborhood. The neighborhood
you'll love her.
Without her. Yeah. She's always looking through the drapes. She's Gladys Kravitz, but she can bake.
Here's the problem I've had with Seders in the past. Like, it's a slow buildup. You know what I mean? Like, you're eating the radish and you're drinking the salt water. It's like, let's get to the good stuff. You know what I mean? Like, you're just nibbling for a while.
What's the good stuff at a Seder?
Well, isn't there like...
besides leaving.
Well, there's like chicken and, right? I remember having drumsticks at one. And
yeah.
Like, you eventually get to gorge yourself, right?
Well, they will serve you an entree. The problem I had since I was a child is I hate braised beef, and the brisket is always horribly done in some kind of tomato stuff, tomato sauce.
Okay. You've had bad experiences.
It was French onion soup, and it was the only entree. I hated Passover. It was awful. Passover should have smoked brisket, and it should have ribs and or burnt ends. That's the way it should be. It's just, I've hated Passover for that. I've gone to Seder's, and I've read the Haggadah and participated in all of this, and I'm always thankful that this is the holiday where they command you to drink 4 glasses of wine. And the reason they ask why
really?
They do, yeah. And one of them, you're sticking your pinky in and you're recounting the 10 plagues by taking a drop of wine out of the glass and dabbing it onto your plate. At least that's been my experience. It's one of the rituals that is observed, but it's kosher for Passover food means dessert's not going to taste good. Someone's going to force you to eat brisket, and I never do. So it's a bad deal.
So are you going to a
Seder?
It's
a whole lot of walking up to this thing for nothing for me.
No Seder for you then, I'm assuming.
No, I am. I'm going over to Brandon and Emily. So my son and daughter-in-law wanted to host. I think they wanted to host me. It looks like a really sweet we'll have the old man over. But I think it was really aimed at avoiding her father's Zoom Seder. My daughter-in-law didn't want to be part. And who would want to be part of a Zoom Seder? Zoom is really a tiresome thing right now.
Oh.
And then to sit through the storytelling of the Exodus from Egypt, the evil Pharaoh, the Jews were told to go free, and they didn't even have time to let the bread rise. They took the bread. That's how we have matzah, and that's another bad thing about the Seder. Anyways, then Pharaoh sends his men after them, and God parts the Red Sea and then closes it up on the Egyptians, and you get
and that's
like
all
that.
You need
you
to know. This is like a
right.
loop review. It's the Red Sea and then the Pharaoh, and that's all you need to know.
And then Universal Studios makes a ride out of it. And then Moses takes you to the Promised Land, but he can't quite get you in. It's sort of like Andy Dalton in the playoffs. He can't quite get there. And so that's what it is. And Aaron, his brother, can't go in because while Moses was dragging people around the desert for 40 years, he had he went up to talk to God, and he got, according to Mel Brooks in the History of the World Part 1, it's, I give you this 15, and then he drops one of the tablets. Oi, 10. 10 commandments. I give you these 10 commandments. It's really a great bit. So, anyways, they don't get into the land of milk and honey. They don't get into the promised land.
Well, that's what the story is.
But stay beware of matzah, because it's a central part of
matzah.
This.
I love matzah.
Okay, but matzah for someone it,
what
my
is
age,
is like is matzah a cheese like mozzarella, or am I just like
oh
being
God.
Ignorantly
you're more,
Protestant
you're more
right
Christian
now?
Ignorant
matzah
than
is
I
a
am.
Thin unleavened.
Hey, I was
cracker.
Not only was I raised Protestant, I was raised Presbyterian, which is like. I use the term lazy because I can't think of another word. It's like the minimalist Protestant religion. Like, you don't do a whole lot. You do communion like once a month. And so there's not a whole lot of these traditions. Like, I really don't know what this stuff is. I loosely know what Passover is.
It's a thin unleavened cracker. It's a thin unleavened cracker.
Oh, I thought you were talking about matzo ball soup.
Box size squares. It represents the bread the Jews did not have time to let leaven and rise. Mm-hmm. As it cooked on rocks, they were told to get out of Egypt as God finally, with the tenth plague, visited upon the Pharaoh and his people, which was the killing of the firstborn males in Egypt. And we get the term Passover because the Jews were instructed to take the leg of a lamb and a bloody leg of a lamb and put blood on the door jamb so God would know which houses to pass over and kill the rest.
I think that my Seder experience has been better than yours because when I go, here's why. Because when I go, I'm like a novelty act. They're like, ooh, Mark,
you are.
The Catholic boy is coming. We better dumb it down. We better warm up some pizza or something. We better leaven this bread because the Catholic is coming, and it's like they have to change everything. And then when I leave, they do the real stuff.
Yeah, you know, it's again, it's the Jews. Like, if Moses turns left in the desert, we get all the oil. Instead, we don't. And if the Jews had only been making sourdough bread, we could eat crusty bread while we're sitting there waiting for this story to be told. Anyways, I don't eat matzah because it's binding. That's the worst thing about it.
Okay.
Trash Panda.
What about
it's
matzo
binding.
Ball soup?
At my age, you don't eat matzah.
The soup, though? Yes, right? Matzo
no,
ball soup?
Matzo balls. No, I don't want to
do
that.
You won't even do
it's
that?
It's binding. It's matzah meal.
It's
made out of matzahs. No, I don't. Sorry.
Fair enough.
No,
fair
it's
enough.
Binding.
You hate the Seder. We get it.
I don't
get it.
No, I do. I do like the story. The Charoset is wonderful. The Charoset is apple, wine, and nuts to represent the mortar with which the Jews were doing the backbreaking work building the pyramids for Pharaoh. So that's good stuff. Sometimes it's wine, sometimes it's honey, whatever. It's all good. You make it a couple days early and the apples get drunk and that's good. Just the idea that I grew up, it was only brisket and it was horribly done and it was braised beef and stringy and vomit inducing. So.
Well, just got a message from a friend. I stirred something up on Facebook. My friend just texted me and said that she is hosting it, and she said that I've ruined Passover for some reason.
How have you ruined the Passover?
Well, because it's somebody that didn't get invited, and I brought it up on Facebook, and now the person that didn't get invited, and so she wrote some pretty sweary words about me. Saying that I've ruined Passover. So, I've ruined
Passover. Wow, this person shouldn't have been. Passover is all about Exodus and joining together and being one as a people. Why didn't she invite that other person?
Well, I think that other person, actually, I could just say, because he's famous too, he's Dan Levy. Not that Dan Levy. But the Dan Levy, who we all know and love, who sometimes works for Entercom.
Yeah, we know that one.
We kind of probably assumed he was having his own Seder because he's got his own family. But apparently he's not. So, I don't know. I stirred something up. I'm in trouble. Again. God.
There you go. You gave Eli a headache, and now you're starting the Seder scandal starring Mark Grody on the next ET.
All right. Evil Catholic Grody.
We're going to take a break because the matzah misunderstanding Trash Panda is telling us we have to take a break.
He's bad.
This is your Saturday Suckage Seder infomercial, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. There is, right here on Saturday Suckage, a Score Passover tradition that I did not want to let pass without observing, and here it is. Or I thought that's here it is.
By the way, happy Passover to Al and for all of our Jewish friends. We know this is the start of Passover.
Thank you. Ed Farmer, the late Ed Farmer, marking the start of Passover. So there you go. Carry that to your Seder, Mark.
And I remember him saying the add-on to that, which we don't have time for all of it, was to be safe. And now, based on your telling me that four glasses of wine are involved, I now understand why he told the Jews to be safe.
Yes. Yes, indeed. Why is this night different? And so, and one of them is you sit reclining because only the free people did it back then. And somebody texted in the Jewish joke. You might want to share this at the Seder, Mark. The 773 did this.
I need material.
773, what do matzah and the Pharaoh have in common? Neither will let my people go.
I will use, and that thing that you just said, the how is this day anything different? And when Mitch Rosen told me that's like a real thing.
Why is this night different from all other nights?
That's a real thing.
It is. That's the is part one, and that's what gets answered by the sons ask that. There are four sons. One simple, smart, evil. There are four sons. There are four questions. The youngest, this is not you. The youngest at the table asked the four questions, and then they were answered in order.
So I should not bring up anything about Jesus being the Son of God at this party.
Go ahead.
It's okay.
You're right. You can bring it up. All I say is read the room, Mark.
Okay.
Read the room.
Okay. I will.
But I like that, you know, they'll all get the what do matzah and the Pharaoh have in common? Neither will let my people go. That'll be a good josh and a elbow to the ribs. I want to thank Trash Panda for producing this and for bringing us the late Ed Farmer. And thank Rick Kemp and Josh Nelson. And thank our one caller and all the texters. Thanks for joining us. If nobody important listened to the show, we'll be back next week for Saturday Suckage, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
It wouldn't have been possible if we weren't here to be told how much we suck. So, kudos to you guys for sucking as bad as we do.
Oh, yes. Wait a minute, Mr. Postman.
Wait.
Oh, yeah.
That's
yeah.
it.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly.